This hour of the Overdrive podcast is brought to you by Felix. Embarrassed to talk about erectile dysfunction in person? Felix can connect you to a doctor online to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.
All right, here we go. It's a Wednesday. Beautiful day here in Toronto. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Only Brian Hayes and the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill today. Noodles working. Tonight, San Jose, Ottawa game. So Noodles not on today. He'll be back, I believe, tomorrow, then off on Friday.
You were almost by yourself today.
I know, and I got to be honest. I was playing it cool. I saw the text, and you know, you and the grappler and Mullen, three stooges trying to figure something out.
Well, I love the grappler's response. I'm like, look, and by the way, Phil Connors, the shout-out has been made. This thing's on the fritz, and I don't know how many more days it's got left, so I need a new one. I'm putting the order in. If it doesn't go down, you can talk to Phil Connors. But Grappler just casually mentions, he said, if anything happens, you're just on the phone for 3 hours. I rolled back. I said, Graps, I'm not making a three. That would actually, like, hurt my shoulder, I think.
Oh, I know, and I wouldn't be able to do it, man.
No!
I've done radio. I've tried to do it. Like, back in the day, I used to work with a guy who, when he would have issues for whatever reason, he would do some shows from home. He would be adamant that he'd call in. I'm like, I can't have you on the phone. Like, I'm on the mic and it's popping. The mic sounds professional. You're on the phone. I can't interview you because that's what it ultimately turns into. I would ask a question, then you would start talking on the phone again. I could do a segment with you.
That's all that's happening. If I couldn't do it today, it would be like a couple segments. Maybe you chime in later in the show. You give me a buzz about something else. But that's it. I'm not doing a three-hour phone call.
No. And we're up on TV. Like, we're on TV.
Yeah. What is the headline going to say, on the phone, O-Dog, for 3 hours?
No, it wasn't going to work. I know what the grappler was, I think, trying to suggest, was that at some point the technology would kick in and it would be all good. And I think that's what he was saying, was we'll get you on the phone and then we'll figure it out. But in moments like that, I'm just, my mindset changed. I'm like, all right, if I'm on my own, because I'm still struggling a little bit. I don't want to mention this.
I was going to say, what is the outside, like, have you talked to, you don't talk to anyone like your neighbors, because they would be like, oh, COVID guys around here. Are you getting like COVID guy treatment?
No, because it's not COVID. Now it's like my sinuses. I think I have a sinus infection and I was coughing yesterday and I'm still coughing a little bit. It's not like outrageous. It's not like I have a fever and I'm sweating and I'm just a mess. But 3 hours of talking, I know the average person thinks this job is just you put your feet up and you
go. Dude, everyone thinks this thing is a joke.
It's like a joke.
Complete joke.
I get it. Now, listen, I have that argument all the time. Like, wow, you're only working 3 hours. It exhausts a lot of energy. And we're talking for 3 hours. You know, it's nonstop, go, go, go. And you got to be on top of things. But if it's me and you or myself, yourself, and Noodles, I'm like, okay, we can rely on each other to bounce things off. It's just a completely different dynamic. When you sent that text out half an hour ago saying, I don't know if this thing's going to work, I'm like, I'm going to be on my own here for 3 hours. Like, I got to get going. So I immediately was like, all right, what am I doing out of the gate? Where am I taking this?
You had to morph back into the Brian Hayes show.
Exactly.
And that's what I could never understood. When we used to do the Leafs lunch with you, and then you would start cooking for 2 hours on your own, I would leave the studio, and when I pulled into my house, you'd been talking to yourself the whole trip home.
Right.
35 minutes. I'm like, that guy just talked to himself for 35 minutes, and I'm just like, I can't. I wouldn't even know what to say. You put some pigeon broadcaster that and say, go ahead and talk to yourself for 30 minutes, they'd quit.
Oh, it's the most difficult thing to do, in my opinion, in broadcasting. The most difficult thing to do is be on your own radio, you know, no guests, and it's like, you gotta make this entertaining. You got to make it compelling. You got to go. And believe me, there were, I'm sure, a lot of shows, a lot of segments where it wasn't necessarily world-class entertainment. But that's when you had to know where you were going or have a pretty good idea of it. And it's got to be spontaneity. It's got to be the ability to just kind of gift of gab.
Dude, it was the whole nine. Gift of the gab. You'd have mini arguments with yourself. You'd have debates with your, it was.
Yeah, you had to. You had to, because there would be days, like, it's easy for me to say it now, like, oh, I had everything prepped. And that's not the way it would work. Like, there would be some days we would finish the lunch. You guys would leave and I'd have 3 minutes to turn it around. I'd be like, all right, where am I going here? You know, like we just talked Leafs for 2 hours or talked NHL for 2 hours. What else can I bring to the table? And, you know, like the intro would be playing, and I'm like, I guess I'm going here. Like, let's start talking about this topic and see where it takes us. And before you know it, it's 4 o'clock. I'd be punching out, and I'm like, all right, I guess I'm leaving now. You know,
okay, great. Thanks a lot for that look in the sports, Brian.
Yeah.
There it is. And that's why we play that clip, because, you know, that's Boom Goes the Dynamite Guy, one of the great YouTube clips of all time. But the way he says, yeah, at the end, he's just exhausted. Like, and he's so embarrassed, and he's just, like, mortified, and get me out of here. That was pretty much me. Like, that was pretty much me at 4 o'clock every day. Like, you got to get me off the air. We got to move. So I was thinking that we were turning the clocks back, and I was going to have to morph back into that and have takes for days and all these different arguments among myself. I don't know. But it worked out. We got you. The technology kicked into high gear.
No,
we
have not technology, dude. I have a little brick with the plugins, and there's like 7 different options, and I just kept unplugging and plugging it in and plugging it in. And about 10 minutes before we came on air, it fired up. So I don't even know what the hell that is.
Yeah, we've put a lot of miles into the equipment. I've been using
this thing. It's dying. It's got to be dying.
Yeah, these are things that you would use. Like, this is kind of behind-the-scenes radio, TV, entertainment stuff, where they'd have this equipment kind of sitting in a truck or a back room, and occasionally, you know, we'd go on the road and
some guy would take it home or something.
Someone might take it home, or all of a sudden, you know, it's Marilyn Dennis needs it for whatever reason, and it's like, all right, Chum FM's going to use it, or News Talk is going to use it. Like, we're all in the Bell Media radio
cluster.
Hazy,
I got to tell you, if I find a better version of this, a more, like, grooving, up-to-date station, I'll buy it myself, because this thing, you know that there's an updated version of this.
Oh,
thing.
There has to be, yeah.
Has to be.
It's worked out. I mean, again, to the credit of our boy, the Gat Man, Paul Gatt was doing the rounds. That was almost 2 years ago now, when everyone was kind of panicking to get the equipment and get it into homes and make sure that it worked and make sure that we could adapt to our new surroundings and our new reality and sync in with
Steve.
TV. And
I used Big
Steve. Steve was your guy? Okay, shout out to Steve. And yeah, I mean, there were a lot of different people that were factoring into the way this would work. But I've been using basically the same system, and I guess you have as well. I had to get a new headset at some point because it just wasn't working. And my cough button, that was another thing that I had panicked a half an hour ago when you sent the text. Like, if I cough like I did yesterday and my cough button's not working and I'm on my own, whew, that was going to get sloppy. That had potential to be a little bit of an issue, but it's all good. We're both here.
We're ready to fire up. We got 3 hours of outstanding coverage for you people.
Yes, nonstop. We've got Bob Bradley coming up in 20 minutes. He's the new head coach and the sporting director for Toronto FC, and he's also Michael Bradley's dad. And you look at them, they look identical. They're both they rock the bald Messier. He was rocking Messier, I think, before Messier. So we'll ask him about the transition and having Michael on the team, if that makes it easier for him. I have to believe it will. And Toronto FC had a terrible season, but I just heard Wheeler point out, and I think it's a good point, prior to this last season where it was an implosion and they finished second last in the East and they were a mess, they had a 5 or 6 year run where they were spectacular. Like, they were always in the playoffs, always making runs at MLS Cup.
Contending team,
spending money. Like a class organization, and you don't lose that class because of one season, but you might have to find a little bit of it, and I'm sure they're hoping that Bob Bradley can do that. So he'll join us in about 20 minutes. Raptors back in action tonight. They're in Memphis, and the Leafs are in action. They're in L.A. taking on the Kings, and Jack Campbell will go tonight. No word on if Campbell will go all 3 games. I'd be fine with Joseph Woll playing one of the 3, maybe Friday in San Jose. And I think that's a testament to what he's brought to the table, his first 2 starts, and how things can change over the course of 2 weeks. Because if you had have asked me this question 2 weeks ago, I'd say absolutely not.
Yeah,
I'm running Campbell into the ground.
How much more leafy can we take it? Like, if he starts in San Jose and lets in 1 goal and they win 4-1, are we going to go, Joe, from the bridge and say, okay, what's Peter Mrazek doing around here? I don't think so. We're not doing that.
I'm not going to be prepared to do that. Mrazek's a good goalie that's going to play. And Mrazek is on the trip and he's skating. That's not going to happen. But I think it's more about the fact that if he does go, you're not questioning the decision. You're not necessarily panicking, I think, if you're a Leaf fan.
I'm not going to lie. I'd be more comfortable than then saying, as of right now, Like, if they said Joseph Wall, you're going to play, I'd feel a little better than Hutch.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Hutch, that's the guy who should be panicked right now, not Peter Mrazek. That's a more appropriate conversation because Mrazek's got 3 years left at 3-9 or whatever it is. Mrazek's playing, man, and he's got a history in the league. He's a good goalie. Hutchinson has been the, you know, go-to number three guy for a couple of years now, and I would suggest that has probably changed. And when they went to Wall initially, that was telling you something. When he played the way he did a few nights ago, again, telling you something, and he's on the trip, and he might play in California. So I would think Hutch is probably the guy who's looking at this wondering what the hell's going on, as he should. But a couple of things on the Kings side that connect to the Leafs, the Toronto sports scene, the Canadian sports scene. Philip Deneau talking a big game about going up against Austin Matthews, and really, he's got to be like the number one Leaf villain, Matthews villain. He's not a bad dude. It's not like he's a guy who throws bad hits or stick work or whatever. But I think he represented games 5, 6, and 7, maybe more than anyone else, maybe more than Carey Price.
I totally disagree. I think if you talk about 5, 6, and 7, it's what other people didn't do. Like, what, this guy wasn't the ultimate shutdown where he blanketed Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. Like,
what did they do in those three games?
Dude, are you going to give all the credit to Philip Deneau?
Like, I'm not giving all the credit. I'm not giving all the credit, but I'm saying
he's a factor. He's a factor, but it's not the be-all and end-all. Some of the best players in the world have a checking line on them all the time or people checking them. You don't think the greatest players have people conscious they're on the ice? That happens to every player. You got to fight through it and be better.
Very simple. Should have. I'm not disputing that. I'm not saying that Philip Deneau should have won the match, but guess who did?
Factor is as far as Deneau I'm willing to go. To say that he was the major guy in games 5, 6, and 7, I think that's a little aggressive.
He's the guy that I'm going to probably reference when I look back on what happened on the opposition. If we're talking Leafs, then it is about the self-inflicted wounds. It's about Matthews not performing, Marner not performing.
Gaffes, giveaways.
Yeah,
all kinds.
There were a lot of them. How they started the games, the whole team was awful to start game 5 and 6. Awful. In game 7, they were just kind of mopey and just, you know, cruising around. They were lifeless in game 7. But what I'm saying is what I think was who was the mascot of this team that just blanketed the Leafs and decided, all right, we're not out of this because we're down 3-1. We're going to try to come back and make something of it. Was Deneau. And Deneau, and now he's out there saying, yeah, I feel confident against Matthews, and he should. And what I hope happens is Matthews goes, all right, like there's no reason Philip Deneau should shut down Matthews every time they play. Like there's no excuse for that. Deneau's a good player. Matthews is a great player. And I hope Matthews hurt him. I hope Matthews takes the challenge, goes, let's cook tonight. Like wait till you see what I got at crypto.com arena or whatever the hell it's called.
Well, it doesn't matter if you're getting Deneau because they got another guy on their team that makes Deneau look like a fourth line centerman, and that's Andre Kopitar, their captain. I'd rather take Deneau than play Andre Kopitar for 24 minutes all
yes.
day long.
So would I if I'm Matthews, if I'm Tavares, if I'm anybody in the league. I'd much prefer to go up against Deneau than Kopitar. I'm with you. Either way, that's who you're getting. Like, McClellan's going to throw out Kopitar and Deneau. They're going to match Matthews and Tavares. It's going to be big boys on big boys, I would think, tonight, all night. But there's, you know, this is an opportunity for Matthews to break out. The 5-on-5 numbers have been detailed. They're not as strong as they should be. The underlying numbers would suggest they're there, right? Like, he's on the doorstep of breaking out. Why not do it against a guy like Philip Deneau or Kopitar, whoever it's going to be, in a big market, big night? I think the game's national down on TNT, and let's see what he's got. So, you know, I'm curious to find out what he brings to the table. Drew Doughty will not play again tonight. He's only played 4 games this season. And I was thinking about him today, like with all the Olympic talk and the Olympic uniforms have been unveiled. And I didn't hate them as much as everyone hates
them. Dude, can you believe, like, the outrage that people have, like, of all we've been through in the last 2 or 3 years? These jersey things pop up, both USA and Canada, and you could throw in the New Jersey Devils' 3rd one, and people are just outraged.
Going crazy.
How do you not like that? Like, what the hell is so wrong with that? It's different. It's not the traditional Canada logo. That one's gorgeous.
That's sharp. Yeah,
what's
wrong with that one?
What the hell's wrong with that? That's awesome. P.S. Yeah. I want one. That one I like too. What? Why are people outraged about these things? Is it a bit of a different design in the Canada flag? Get serious.
Yeah,
get
it is.
Serious,
it's,
man.
It's nostalgia. Like we all, you know, everyone sees the 70, you know, the 72 series, the 87 Canada Cup jersey, and you got to have
it. Dude, the 87, Hayes, if we're going to kind of chat about it, the 87 would have been never changed for me. That jersey, I don't know how you went away and did anything different.
Yeah, it was clean.
It's just, well, just the half of the Canada flag, it was just awesome.
It was absolutely awesome. But the reason they do it is because you get new companies, clearly. This is Nike. And you're looking, you got to have something different to sell something different. So I'm with you. I mean, there's been a lot of quality jerseys. There's bad jerseys. I didn't mind these. Like the three that they unveiled, if you haven't seen them, if you're listening on a radio or podcast, you can find them everywhere. They're all over TSN.ca, Twitter, Instagram. I think they're okay. I think they're pretty nice.
You know, they're sharp.
Different and cool.
They're sharp.
They're not repulsive. They're not obnoxious. They're not.
No.
You know, it's not bad. The one that's kind of orange and black, like I think that's the alternative one. That's got kind of a Team North America vibe to it. Remember that one? Remember Team North America in 2016 where they
that's
were.
That's red and black to me. That's
that red one's and red and black. That, I'm not talking about the red and black one. I'm talking about the other one, the first one that we showed when we put it up on TV. That one right there. That's it kind of doesn't really look red to me. It almost looks orange a little bit. But that one to me looks modern and different and cool. And like that with McDavid and that thing flying around, that'll be sweet. Those things are sell too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're going to sell. And I thought the Americans one looked pretty good. I thought the jersey one was cool. Like, I had no issue with the third jersey
either.
With the Devils.
It was kind of cool. It just says jersey on it. But people are kind of connecting like that, the fact that it's a jersey and it's like they were putting stupid things up like hat with hat on it. It's like.
But they do you want, that's actually pretty good. Hat with
it
hat.
Is. And then sweater with sweat. It's just right. It says jersey on it, and they're called the Jersey Devils, whatever. I thought they were sharp. It's a
I
cool third
were.
Jersey.
Yeah.
And it's all about people buying the stuff and if they like it. But what I don't understand why people don't do it is, like, if you're coming out with this jersey, like, get a little panel together. And we're in the media, and you know we're going to talk about it. And I'm not saying one of us. But get a couple former players, get Eric Lindros and Tessa Bonhomme and Brian Hayes and a couple other fans of Canada in a room and say, what do you think of this? And I think between the four or five of you, you're going to come up with a pretty good emblem that's going to everyone's going to be happy with. Why don't you do that?
Yeah.
A couple fans, a couple former players, men and women, and Brian Hayes, and get together and say, what do you think of this? What are you going to say about this when this thing happens? Then you have a pretty good indication of what you got.
That would be
instead
your target
of just
audience.
Boom.
Yeah, that's your target audience. If you're saying you collect fives, and maybe they did that in some capacity. I don't know. I don't know if they spoke
I
to
guarantee
former
they
players,
didn't.
Current players. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get style. You're going to get, you know, a stylist. You're going to get marketers who don't care for anyone else's opinion.
Dude, there's all kinds of nonsense that goes into this that we have no idea about. Algorithms, what people like, what people are buying, all
oh,
kinds
yeah.
of nonsense.
What's going to catch your eye? Of course. It's all subliminal stuff. It's what we talked about the other day about advertising. You know, there's things. The best example of it is kids shows. Kids, if you go on like a youth YouTube or YouTube for kids, the voices that these people use, it's so aggravating, but it's clearly effective with children because it rings out for them and they want to watch it and they want to
what
hear.
You mean like Dora's voice?
Yeah, exactly. Like exactly the way the Wiggles speak. You know, Dora's voice. You know, the PJ Masks. Whatever it is, all these different shows. And even the YouTubers, like there's a whole cottage industry of kids YouTubers who are making a fortune.
Dude,
a fortune.
It's outrageous.
It's outrageous. And they all speak with the same style, like the same linguistic style. It's weird how they peak and how they pop. And I hear it all the time because my kids are always asking to go on. And I'm like, there's clearly a consistent theme here. And they found a rhythm. They found an algorithm and they're going with it.
Did you ever have like an irritating morning? It's had to have happened to you once. You're just not into anything. Something happened and you see the Wiggles come on and like Sleepy Jeffs or whatever that guy's, and you just want to put him in a DDT and drill him into the ground.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. The Wiggles, man.
The Wiggles.
I could not do it.
They're still pumping out new content. Like they have these new, because my youngest is now into it. And that's the problem, is my oldest is out of the Wiggles. So she's got no interest. Can't stand.
Care less.
Has no interest in the Wiggles. But my youngest is dying for the Wiggles.
And they're still, she big league the youngest and say, get that off, that's
well,
garbage.
No, because to be fair, I mean, when my oldest was her age, she was a, you know, only child at that point, so she had exclusivity over the TV, so you got to mix it up. You got to let the younger one watch what she wants to watch from time to time. And the Wiggles look weathered, man. They're battling it out down under in Australia.
Piss tanks.
They're God grinding it out.
Oh, yeah, traveling all over.
They're pumping out new content. You know what's crazy about that is Lockie and Emma were married, and they got divorced, and they're still in the Wiggles together, which has got to be so awkward for Simon and Anthony to deal with that. Can you imagine you and your ex-wife working together, and then, like, two other guys have to be included in the foursome? Like, how difficult that would be?
No.
Yeah.
That's just not happening.
Which it probably speaks to how lucrative being a Wiggle is, because both of them are like, I'm not leaving.
What is their names, the divorced?
Lockie, who's the sleepy guy now. Lockie play. Jeff is old school, man. Your kids grew up in like the 70s, because Jeff hasn't been around for a while.
Bastard Jeff was such a loser.
He was so annoying. I know who you're talking about. But Jeff's been gone for a while. Lockie is the new sleepy guy. It's all the same routine. So Lockie and Emma in real life got
Lockie
married.
Lockie and Emma, you got to do rock, paper, scissors, best of three, and whoever loses.
How the other two didn't come up and say, I don't care which one stays, we love both.
That would have been your move. But yeah, you would have said, Noodles, Dog, one of you got to go, you figure it out, because I'm not coming to work.
Exactly. You know, you guys are awesome, but I'm not an adult enough to put up with this, so we have to move on here. But yeah, I want to get into the Drew Doughty Team Canada conversation. It feels relevant because the Leafs are in LA. He's been injured. He's back skating. When he got hurt, he was going to be out for 8 weeks, which he's only played 4 games. He came out like a rock star, man. He had a great opening night. I think he had 3 or 4 points. But is he still on the radar? Darnell Nurse also dealing with a significant injury. Is he on the radar? What's going to happen here with Canada and the defense? We'll get into that later this afternoon. Bob Bradley is the new head coach here with Toronto FC. He's also the sporting director. What's up with that title? Is he basically the GM, right? Is he the chef? Is he running everything? He gets to go buy the ingredients, gets to cook the meal. What's going on here?
What's Bradley's contract? Is he done, or has he got one more year?
No, Michael's still here, and he's been playing a ton all year. So the expectation would be that they're going to be working together. So we'll catch up with Bob Bradley. We've got Justin Williams, your boy, coming up just after 5 o'clock. The Filter with Al's brother at 5:30. We've got to make our picks for the games tomorrow. So we got 3-pack of NFL picks today to get to as well. Overdrive is off and running, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so we got 3 NFL games tomorrow. That means 3 games that have to be picked. I will have the first game and the third game. You and Al's brother will have the second game. And the first one tomorrow should be just a classic. You got the Chicago Bears in Detroit taking on the Lions, two of the worst teams in the league. Jerry Goff is questionable to play.
Why? So, like just healthy scratch?
No, he's dealing with injuries, but I don't know. I mean, does it matter if Goff plays? It probably does, and it should. But those reports that were out earlier this week that Matt Nagy was getting fired after the game, according to a guy named Dan Pompey, who is a NFL writer in Chicago. Blue check mark guy. Yep. George McCaskey, who's the owner of the Bears, addressed the Bears players and coaches today and told them there was no truth to the report that Matt Nagy will be fired after the game on Thursday.
Dude, that's a bizarre scenario anyway. Like, why wouldn't you, if that was going to happen, wouldn't you just fire him before the game? Like, what are you saying to the guy? Have one more game and then we're firing you? I think that was nonsense to begin with.
I know. But, like, do the players even care?
Did they walk back to their locker and they're like, okay, guys, let's go get it?
Yeah,
no.
Now we're going to go beat Detroit. Thankfully, no. Matt Nagy, your boy Matt Gase, is going to somehow stick around here. in Chicago. I mean, I don't know if that actually helps.
I'll tell you what, though, Hayes, you want to have an outrage in Chicago, bring him back next year and see what happens.
Oh, good luck with that. It will be absolutely
You're talking about affecting business plans, like attendance, ticket sales, like outrage.
You're rioting in the streets. Like people would – there's no way Nagy is back next year.
No.
So maybe he's going to coach beyond U.S. Thanksgiving, but next year, like, no chance. Get the U-Haul packed. It's done. I guess our next guest has got to get the U-Haul packed as well. Maybe a few of them. He's coming up from L.A., and he's been a longtime coach in the soccer world, and he's joining Toronto FC as the new head coach and sporting director for Toronto FC. Here's Bob Bradley. Congrats on the new gig, Bob.
Thanks, guys. I'm sorry to interrupt the discussion on the Bears, though. I used to coach in Chicago, so I can help you there.
Well, do you think...
How are the fans there?
Yeah, what's it like in Chicago? Are they stable?
Chicago's a great sports city, but let's segue that into the fact that I think Toronto's just an awesome sports city, and I couldn't be more excited to be here.
Okay, that'll help. That's a good start, I think. Yeah, we like to fancy ourselves a pretty, you know, sophisticated sports town, and I'm sure you've been getting the details from your son, Michael, for the last number of years, and this is going to be quite the scenario with Bob Bradley, Michael Bradley here in Toronto. And does that, how much easier is it going to make your transition being able to rely on Michael to kind of get a read on what's been going on here?
His experiences in Toronto have just been awesome. The connection that the team has with the city and the fans, and how much that has motivated him over the years. And on my end, it means that over the last 8 years since he arrived, I've watched every game. So I've seen BMO at its best. I know how much those fans mean every time the team steps on the field. And so that's where you set the bar, that we've got to give that group of supporters in the city a team that makes them proud, that's fun to watch, that's exciting, and that wins.
Bob, we were talking about a new coach coming in yesterday and just how it all happens. And the reason it generally happens is for performance on the pitch. So you're brought in. What is the first thing on your docket? Like, do you just go through video? Do you figure out where problems are? Like, what's the first thing for you to do to kind of help you moving forward and have success in the future?
Start really good discussions with people that have been here. I've seen all the games, so I don't need to go back through video.
Okay. And
start to hear what different people have to say about how we can sort of reboot. Obviously, everyone in Toronto knows that there was a period where the football was special. But look, you have to continue to find ways to stay current and to keep putting the bar higher. And that's what happens in teams, successful teams all around the world or in any sport. So we've got to have a really big discussion that really looks hard at where are certain guys, are they still committed? Do they want to be coached? Do they come in every day fresh and make everybody around them better? Those are the starting points for playing well. So that's where we start.
With Bob Bradley, the new head coach of Toronto FC, also sporting director of Toronto FC. We'll get to that title in just a moment. But as you've told us, you've seen every game, you know, the last 8 years with Michael, your son, playing for Toronto FC. And prior to this last year, and this last year was a disaster for the team. They finished with 28 points, only Cincinnati below them in the East. Prior to this season, they were one of the class organizations of MLS, and consistently a playoff team, consistently a team to be reckoned with. So when you looked at the tape last year, when you watched them play last year, did you see a team bottoming out? Do you see a team that needs a complete rebuild? Or do you see pieces that just for whatever reason had a down year and you believe you can work with and get them back to where they should be and where they were prior to last season?
The answer is all of the above. I think that there still are guys that are committed, that even if they didn't have their best seasons, will rebound and respond in a great way. But I also think that there are other guys that their level of commitment, their level of engagement isn't as high as it was. And now when I say discussions, I want to find out why. Certainly, we know in the last couple of years, COVID's been a challenge. But when performance is dropped, we can't just speak about COVID as the complete answer. And we know that that as players go through their careers, there are times where they need a change, and they've sort of come to the end. So there's a lot that needs to be put on the table in a real way so that we can make decisions and figure out how we can move forward.
Did you speak to your son about this opportunity, or was it just, hey, son, guess what, I'm your coach, or how did that all go down?
Michael and I have shared a lot in the game, so I have always paid attention to his teams and his on-the-field play, and quite honestly, he always probably knows more about the teams I've coached and players I've worked with than anybody who's not on the inside, so... there's a real love of the game. As you guys have learned, he's very committed. He's constantly pushing everybody around him, setting high standards. And so that's what has driven him through his career. I know he takes his role as an experienced player, as someone who's getting towards the back end of his career. I think he takes his role with younger players to be very important. I think he understands now that there's a lot of work to be done to make sure that this team plays at a high level. So, you know, I think in all those ways, we're on the same page.
Well, looking over Michael Bradley's, you know, game log throughout the season, he was starting pretty much every game, playing 90 minutes pretty much every game. And as you mentioned, he's on the back nine. He's 34 now. I don't have to tell you that. How difficult will this be, or potentially be, for you to evaluate not the work ethic, not the passion, not the leadership, but the tactics, the play? If he's slipping, how do you address that?
The way we always have, and the way I handle it with every player, real conversations, looking at video, trying to open up their mind to how they can still get better, and then making sure that everybody understands on a given day, the role.
Your other title on top of head coach is sporting director. Can you detail that for us? Can you explain that title?
Yes, it's important to me that in addition to the number one priority, which is first team success, that we're connecting dots with the second team and the academy, that our ability to have a way of playing and an identity that's understood so that young players are playing in a similar system, so that if at a given point we need some players from the second team to train with the first team, it's a seamless transition into training because they've done many of the same things. Maybe first team training goes faster. Maybe there's a little bit more intensity, but the ideas are all connected. And so as a sport director, I think it's important that we're not only paying strict attention to what goes on with the first team and the players there, but there's a real understanding that connects and helps everybody understand how we're trying to build our club.
So just to dig a little bit deeper into that, because what I had heard and read this morning, this afternoon, was it's a fancy name for GM, and you'll also be effectively the GM of the team. Are you telling me that's right, wrong? How would you respond to that?
I think that's pretty true. I'm not a guy who gets involved in titles. Look, a GM in terms of having a strong voice in decisions involving players, absolutely. I will work closely with others that when it comes to salary budgets and how you structure contracts, have more experience, but I will need to know how those things are being done, length of contracts, what it means on the salary cap, that kind of thing. You know, I think if you went I think if you went around not only MLS, but probably every league, and looked at what GMs do, I think you'd find a wide range of responsibilities. I think you'd find different levels of engagement. I take pride in trying to engage everyone around me, to challenge people, to include them in discussions. I want people to come in every day and feel like their opinion counts. And, I think the best organizations work this way. When I look at the most successful teams in different sports or coaches that I think have been so good over time. I don't know exactly whether they have other titles or not, but I know how much their voice and their opinion counts within that organization.
With Bob Bradley of Toronto FC. So with that said, and with that being the case, let me jump in front of the rest of the media and the rest of the fan base asking you about two players in particular that I'm sure you're going to be asked a lot about, probably already have today. Josie Altidore, what is the plan with Josie?
I have to figure out where Josie's head is. I don't think he's been as committed to the team as he used to be. It shows in just the pure number of minutes, shows in his fitness level. So I know that there's been some discussions. I need to understand better where things stand. Josie has been one of the real important guys in the success that TFC has had. But we all know in sports that as players move on in their careers, there are some players that stay in the same club and continue to be real pluses in everything that goes on. And then there are other moments where it's good for the club and the player to go separate ways. So I think that needs to be looked at and discussed and done in a way that again is respectful to what Josie's done here.
Jonathan Osorio, local guy, been with Toronto FC his whole career. Reports today that there could be teams in Europe seeking his services. He's 29. He's only known MLS. My understanding, and based on what I read today, again, this is not directly from Osorio, is that it might be something he'd be intrigued by. Where do you stand on Osorio, his future, and the idea of maybe Europe coming calling at some point?
I think Jonathan is a very important player at TFC. And I love the fact that he's also now an important player in the Canadian national team. Mm-hmm. With a World Cup, touch wood, I'm excited about how qualifying's going for Canada. So I believe that they will make it to the World Cup next year. So I say that fully supportive. And I would want him to go and play in a World Cup and be at his best. When you work with players, you form a partnership. You want to make them better. You want to challenge them. You want to push them in their careers. Sometimes that creates opportunities where that player is very happy where he is. And sometimes other doors open and you have to consider and respect what they want to try to do. So I don't think the final discussion on Jonathan and what else is out there can be had, because I don't think it's clear what those other opportunities are. But for sure, I love him as a player, and I'm excited to work with him.
Well, we're excited to have you in town. Congratulations on the gig. We're really looking forward to seeing what you bring to the table here at Toronto FC. And welcome to Toronto, Bob. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
Thank you, guys.
There's Bob Bradley, the head coach and sporting director / GM, but we don't call it the GM.
Not interested in titles, but you better make
that.
Me the damn GM.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I love the answer. I'm not really into titles, but you better make me the GM or I'm not coming there.
Well, even the way I phrased it, admittedly, was kind of like a gutless phrasing, like in terms of me not being definitive, because I wanted to see where he was going to take it.
Dude, I had no idea what sporting director was.
Me neither.
I've been in pro sports my whole life. That's basically the Bill Parcells theory, where it's like, you know, at least let me pick the groceries if you want me to make dinner.
And I totally get that, and I understand
me too.
It. Bob Bradley's, you know, been around soccer for a long time. He's got a great resume. He had leverage. It's obviously not a coincidence. Ali Curtis was let go, and they were looking for a coach, GM, and here's Bob Bradley. But like his first detailed answer on sporting director made a lot of sense in terms of the clubs and the filter system and all that. But I felt it was an obligation of mine to be like, just to clarify, are you the GM? Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of think that's what it is. I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see
Jozy
Altidore comments, because just saying he's flat out not interested in his conditioning showed it. I think Jozy listens to the show. He might be on line one right now.
That was blunt. Yeah, that was blunt. I don't know. It feels to me like you just got to cut bait and move on. You know,
hey, and
like,
sometimes fans, maybe they appreciate, just come with the truth, as opposed to some blah, blah answer saying, you know, I got to sit down and we don't know where that situation's at. He flat out said right off the hop, we got to find out where he's going.
Oh, that was,
because his commitment to the team and his conditioning level wasn't there, so he's moving on.
Yep.
I don't think Jozy would like that comment. Probably Altidore fans wouldn't like that comment, but he came with the heat.
Absolutely, he did. So we appreciate that. We always do, the honesty. And Bob Bradley, he's big personality, and he's coming in to run the show, and TFC's coming off a dreadful season, but as we know.
Let me just tell you something, Hazy, and I'm sure you'll understand this because you've been inside a locker room. If I was Altidore and I heard those comments from Bob Bradley, guess who I would want to chat with immediately?
Michael Bradley.
You got
yes.
it.
Yes, I'm seeing where the connection is here. And I had to ask him that question as well. Like, if you're watching the tape and Michael's slipping,
what are you going to do?
You can't play him, or you got.
Not everybody wants
their
dad around. I think Bo Bichette had Dante in the dugout with him for a year, and I don't know if that necessarily went as according to plan.
Well, I mean, as far as I know, he's. I don't believe he was back with them when they came up to Toronto. I think it may have ended when they were down in Dunedin. Maybe he was up in Buffalo for a bit, but. Yeah, listen, and Bob Bradley's coming in. He's running the ship. He's the man. Coach, GM, sporting director, whatever it is, it's going to run through him. Justin Williams, one of our favorites, friend of the show in about 20 minutes. Al's brother in the filter coming up. Al's brother on the three games tomorrow as well. We got to make all picks for the three Thursday games in the NFL tomorrow. And Darren Dreger's still to come. It's going to be a fun one tonight. The Leafs in action, Raptors in action, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. So the Steven Matz era is over in Toronto. He had one season, very successful season, very quality.
Cohen's pissed.
Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, is freaking out and throwing things around the office because he feels like he was lied to, I guess, by Matz's agent.
But my counter to that is, how many times has the player been led to believe by the organization that something was in place, and then something better comes along and they screw over the player?
Always.
So chew on that one, Cohen.
This is Cohen showing how raw and really new he is to the world of professional sports.
Dude,
but he should know better because he's in business.
Ridiculous behavior.
It's so stupid. Like Steve Cohen, who's been loud, he's been in the news, he wants to be a Twitter guy. He jumped on Twitter this morning and said, "I'm not happy this morning. I've never seen such unprofessional behavior exhibited by a player's agent. I guess words and promises don't matter."
Dude, how can a guy with what's gone on in that organization say unprofessional behavior?
No kidding.
The Mets by and themselves have not conducted themselves with all kinds of garbage, the worst of the worst. So don't even use the language unprofessional behavior.
It's silly. I mean, and Matz was in New York with the Mets, and obviously it got to a point where he was moving on, or they were moving on from him. He rehabilitated his career in Toronto. Shout out to Pete Walker again. And Matt's had a really good year. He's a back of the rotation guy, though. I'm not losing sleep over this. I know the Jays were in on it. The reports are they were willing to go to 3 years. Toronto was. St. Louis went 4. Also, reports are Cohen and the Mets were willing to match that, if not exceed it a little bit. So they did feel like they were waiting for Mats to come back and say, this is the deal that was on the table in St. Louis. Do you want to match it to stick around? He decided to go to St. Louis. 4 years. St. Louis, the Cardinals are a perennial playoff team. It's a great baseball town. He got 4 years guaranteed at big money. I don't blame Steven Matz. And I don't blame the Jays for saying, you know what, we'll go find the next Steven Matz. I don't believe they can find the next Robbie Ray or the next Marcus Simeon.
That's the problem with
these reclamation projects. But they can find the next Steven Matz.
I know, but that's the problem. It's like, for the people that think that they're just going to go drag a guy off the street and it's going to become the next Robbie Ray or Simeon or Matz, it doesn't all – they're going to bring in some scrubs sooner or later that just don't work out and they're just – It's a Tanner Roark scenario.
I was just about to reference that. Guess who Pete Walker couldn't save?
Tanner Roark.
Yeah, exactly. It's not batting 1,000 every single time.
No, but it's actually a dangerous game because you're like, this is like throwing you know what against the wall, and it's a coin flip, man, literally.
It is. And listen, they hit gold across the board here. Ray, Simeon, Mats all worked out beautifully. Like, you could not have asked for more. Mats was their fifth starter pretty much all season and was consistent pretty much all season. Blips in the radar. And also not a guy that was ever going to be moving up the roster in terms of the depth chart. He's a legitimate
solid
back
down
end
the stretch, though,
guy.
For them.
Really solid. But he's, you know, he's a number four, number five. That's if you got a good staff. That's perfect. That's where he should be. You can't ask more than what he gave you this year. I think they can find a way to replace Mats. I believe it. I don't think it's an impossibility at all. In fact, I think it's likely. Replacing Ray is a different story, a very different story. Robbie Ray was their horse, their ace, just won a Cy Young, led the league in strikeouts, 193 innings. That, I don't believe you're just going to find for $8 million and let Pete Walker go to work. That's going to be different. That's the one you're really gambling on. But Mats, listen, he gave him everything they could. It was a one-off. You knew it was going to happen. That's the gamble when you give a guy a one-year deal. If he pays off and he walks, Go replace him. That one should not make them lose sleep. Hour two coming up. Justin Williams, Al's brother with the filter and more. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca.
This hour of the Overdrive podcast was brought to you by Felix. Erectile dysfunction treatment online. Felix can connect you to a doctor to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.